Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped. Through his blood,
step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichiku today.
Worship him. Just bless the name of the Lord today. Father, we bless your name. Father, we bless your name. We worship you here today. Your name alone is exalted. Your name alone is magnified. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for what you've been doing from the first service to the second to the third. And thank you for what you're doing in this fourth service, a church for pros. Thank you for the presence of your glory. Thank you for your move and the move of your spirit in this place. Lift your hands. Say, Father, baptize me afresh with the spirit of wisdom and grace for world creation according to the revelations of your word, according to your wisdom. Thank you, Father. Now just lift your hands and receive in this moment. Breathe, Lord. For there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Lord, the inspiration of the Lord, grants him understanding. Breathe your name upon me. Breathe. Breathe your name upon me. Breathe. Your name, O Lord, is your name. Breathe, Lord. Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe. Close those eyes, raise those hands, and sing it one more time. Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe. Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe. Your name is your name. Breathe, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just breathe your name upon me. Fresh baptism, Lord. In your presence, we are changed. In your presence, we are refreshed. In your presence, we are strengthened. In your presence, we are empowered. We are made wiser. We are made much more glorious. Oh, we receive. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. Speak to us. Let your word come with such force and yet with simplicity. Let your word be communicated with precision and accuracy. Let your word gain entrance and find penetration into the innermost part of our being. Let your word minister blessings within our spirit, our souls, our bodies, even to the marrows of our bones. Let your word transform hearts. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious and mighty name, we have prayed. And the people of the Lord say a very big amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning. God bless you. Have your seat in God's presence. Make sure nobody by your side remains a stranger. Get to know them to your left and to your right. Welcome to the first Church for Pros 2026. And today, because of the assignment the Lord has for us and that financial dominion mandate, which is one of the strategic four mandates the Lord has given to us in this era as a ministry, we are going to be starting a series today that I teamed 10 irrefutable laws of wealth. 10 irrefutable laws of wealth. And if you can, add by the side, God's Wisdom Edition. The principalities of this world have their own wisdom. But the wisdom of man is not the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is different. And so, it is very, very important and very key that we differentiate what is the wisdom of men. The wisdom of men is carnal. And its source is demonic. Because the natural man is under the dominion of darkness. The source of the wisdom of man is carnal, sensual, is carnal and sensual, and is demonic. And so the best of what man offers many times can sound logical, can sound sensible, but will always be against the purity and the purposes of the wisdom of God. So it's important that while we talk about something as vital, practically vital as money and wealth, that we'll delve into the mind of God to understand his own wisdom so we can discern. I will always use the illustration of Moses before Pharaoh asking Aaron to cast his rod on the ground because the Lord has asked him to do so. And when he did that, it turned into a serpent. And Pharaoh also asked his sorcerers to come. I mean, he laughed and said, Moses, when did you learn sorcery? He called the sorcerers and they did the same thing. So that two different systems are getting the same money doesn't mean they are the same. The sorcerers also cast their rod and it became serpents. So that somebody is getting rich doesn't mean the source is from God. And that somebody is being wealthy doesn't mean that the wisdom that sources that wealth is from God. If your focus is only about money, you might be deceived by the enemy. If your passion and your love is for money, you end up destroying your faith. But if your focus is for God and your passion is to please Him, and being financially prosperous and wealthy is also His will. Financial prosperity is the will of God. But because your purpose is to please God, and your passion and your heart delights in the Lord, and it's not money, when you begin to get into the journey of money and wealth, and the enemy begins to offer alternatives and begins to offer demonic wisdom, you'll be able to discern it, and you'll be able to resist that temptation and reject those offers. Because at the end of the day, the end will reveal the means. Righteousness never endures. Unrighteousness never endures. Only righteousness endures. At the end of the day, the serpent from the rod of Moses swallowed up the other serpents. The kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our God. Only that which is of God is sustained, and only that which is of God endures forever. And what you want is prosperity on earth, wealth on earth, that extends to a life of bliss with God. You don't want to gain the world and lose your soul. You want to gain the world and have eternal bliss with God. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Wave your hands if you're getting it. Say, I hear. So we are going to try to see if we can deal with two laws today. And then we will continue the series from next Sunday. Somebody say a big amen. Amen. Number one, the first law of wealth. These are laws. If you're going to be wealthy, you're going to create wealth, multiply wealth, build wealth, you must know these laws and you must engage it. Somebody may ask me, Pastor, tell me one thing I need to do to really be wealthy. I'll tell you, there is no one thing. There are many things you need to do. And you must understand those things. By the grace of God, He has helped me to be able to put them into 10 major laws so it doesn't get too large. Somebody say a big amen. The first law is the law of purpose and intention. The law of purpose and intention. Wealth is never built accidentally or by luck. Never. Wealth is never built accidentally or by luck. Never ever see someone that is wealthy and think that person is lucky. Never. Somebody can come into some kind of money accidentally. He can win a lottery. The person can come into some kind of money by gambling. But that is never wealth. And that's why one of the greatest disservice you will do to yourself, if you want to be wealthy, is to get into gambling. I know I'm going to be shaking some of your tables. And I know you're making some money while gambling. But making money is not building wealth. Making money is not building wealth. They are two different things. How many of you have observed some artisans? And some of you might be here and you're artisans. And every single time you call them to come and help you do something in your building, I've done a lot of building projects, and every time we are doing building projects and different things, you want, okay, who is this? You always notice that they are scarce to get because they are always busy. If you have some artisans that you are used to working with and you call them to come and help you fix something, they'll say, okay, sir, I'm coming. I'm somewhere when I finish. Sometimes they give you a day, a two, sometimes a week before they will come because of how busy they are. And when they come, I remembered when I did a project and the electrician needed to do some years ago, not now. They won't charge me that price. And the electrician came to do the wiring of that project. And he charged me about 200,000 naira for that project. And within 3 days, he came with two of his boys. They were through. And he was rushing because he was going to another site. They didn't buy wire. They didn't buy even masking tape. Every material that was needed for that particular project, you bought. The only thing they come is with their work tools, which they are going with, and their skill. And they finished, and they were paid 200,000. And they left. They were coming from another site. They were going to another site. I sat down. I thought about it. How much will this guy be earning? Till the last time I met him, the last time, he's still broke. And they are taking this money and making this money, and money is flowing. These guys are making millions a month. You wonder why, at the end of the day, many of them, when they are now old and they do not have the kind of physical strength to do that kind of work, will now be begging for money. Most of them who are even a little wise, all they can have is that they built a house for themselves. And that's all. But they are making money. You see, the problem is people equate wealth or people relate to wealth as making money. That's not wealth. That misconception is what is keeping people poor for a very long time. There are a lot of poor people who make money and who come into money at different times in their lives. The presence of money in your hands doesn't make you wealthy. So we're going to come into that in some other laws. So let me not stay on that because I almost was moved to start explaining what I'm saying. But if I do that, I will not finish the ones we have. There are about two other laws that will help explain what I just told you. Okay? But so let's focus. Say with me, wealth is never built accidentally. Say with me, wealth is never built by luck. Now write this down. Wealth is built intentionally. Intentionally. By following specific principles. By following specific principles. And following a smart financial plan. Wealth is built intentionally
by following specific principles. There are specific principles. And following a smart financial plan. Watch that word I added. A smart is important. Not every strategy is strategically effective. So that a person has a plan doesn't mean it's going to work. You have to have a viable plan, the one that works. So we are still going to come to that. Every wealthy person, and I'm going to say this, every wealthy person I know, including myself, always knew they will be wealthy. Always. That's a fact. They always knew they are going to be wealthy. If you meet a wealthy person, he will tell you, if I were not wealthy, I would have been surprised. There is nobody, that is not to discount the place of grace. That is not to discount the place of favor. But to meet a wealthy person who told you, I'm surprised that I now came to this point in my life, is not true. Every wealthy person would have been surprised if he didn't end up being wealthy. Why? Because they always have a clear plan for it. And they are always committed to that plan, working on it day after day. So every wealthy person also knew, everyone I've met, knew why they must be wealthy. That's purpose. They knew they would be wealthy and they knew why they must be wealthy. Do you know why you must be wealthy? Do you know why? Why it is impossible for you to end 2026 broke? For you to end 2026 just trying to make ends meet? To end 2026 just at the level of your wealth? That because you know, this is, thank God for the successes I've had financially, but there is much more, because there is something I'm seeing. Every other person may be clapping for you. Every other person may be celebrating you. Every other person may be admiring you. Every other person may be praising you, but you know you've not started because you've set your gaze on a destination. There is something you're seeing that everybody else. So while they are all celebrating, you know you're just starting. So you keep moving and you keep moving and you keep building. So I'm going to make this statement and listen. I will make it from the beginning to the end and listen very carefully. Every wealthy person knew they will be wealthy. They always knew they will be wealthy. They always knew why they must be wealthy. And they were always committed to their unwavering resolve to be wealthy. There is this unwavering resolve. There is no alternative. I don't know how many of you have heard me say this. And I've said this over and over again. I sit down sometimes to think about different scenarios of my life. And if you walk with God and you're conversant with the prophetic, you'll know that there are three dimensions to the prophetic. Number one, there is prophetic hindsight. The Lord can take you back and you can reveal to you the root of a matter. Why what you're experiencing now is happening and where it all began. When God started dealing with my life, I had times where he took me back in visions and I was able to see certain things. I remember sharing with my wife some of the ones I had where I was taken back to my father's compound, in their compound in the village, and I had to deal with certain things in the spirit, seriously in the spirit, and took me to the root of certain things, and those things were dealt with for me to be where I am today. Then there is also prophetic foresight, where God begins to show you what is to be. He gives you a revelation, a picture of a preferred future, a much more glorious future, so you can see it and know exactly where he's leading you. Then the third dimension is a prophetic insight. He now grants you understanding of how to get there. How to deal with the past and how to get to the future. And so, I have this when I'm walking with God and I'm praying, especially in seasons of fasting and praying. This happens with me a lot. And I sit down in the spirit. I've prayed and I prayed, and I'm in that place in the spirit. And I will begin to imagine the scenarios of my life. Let me tell you the truth. I've never sat down to imagine the different scenarios of my life in any form and in any way, and I didn't see myself healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. Every time I think of myself and every scenario of my life, I always felt myself healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. There is no contemplation within me whether things will always be getting better. Even when things were quite not as it is now, physically, naturally, I always knew. That's where it begins. You know you're going to be wealthy. You know it. Nothing. There is no conversation within you that is suggesting otherwise. You have silenced that voice. You've so much stayed in God's word. You've so much stayed in what God is telling you about yourself. You've accepted it. Your faith is established in it. You know why you must be wealthy. You know it. You have this purpose. Somebody shout purpose. How many of you know why it is impossible for you to fail God? Why it is impossible for you? You know, you can just sit down, and if you're married already, and look at your children. And that is one of your whys. You can, as your children are playing, you just look at them. And you tell yourself, every vision God puts in their heart, every dream God places in their hearts, every opportunity God is going to open up for them to have the best of their lives, within the time they will be under my direct supervision, that age where they will be, let it never be that I won't present them that opportunity because of lack of means. They will go to any school that they decide to get. They will have the best of life. And you tell yourself, you see, I'm telling you, many years ago, things were still tough, naturally. I was still wearing my one clothes, one shoe. And I was on a road and saw a pregnant woman, heavily pregnant. And she was on a bike, and the bike had an accident. And the way people were shouting with that pregnancy, I just told myself on that day, it will never be that I will be alive and my wife will enter a bike. It became a why for me. I couldn't stand that I'm going to be alive and my wife was going to enter a bike. It became a why. So I needed to succeed and be wealthy early. So while others were busy thinking of themselves as young, they still have time, I was busy thinking of myself as this thing must happen with urgency. There was a sense of urgency because that day on the road, I had a strong why. And at different times, God will present you a why. Some it might be your parents and what they've gone through. And one day you look at your mother, you look at your father and say, hey, it will never be. Where is your why? And I would like you to tell you that the kingdom of God is also one of the strongest why. What you want to do for God. All the things that God is placing in your heart will require a lot of financing. Many times I talk to people and they tell me, Pastor, their passion to help, their passion, they like to help people, they like to do this, they like to do that. One thing is for sure. If you want to help the poor, if you want to help the broken, if you want to help those who do not have, one thing is for sure you have to have, to be able to help as many as you can. So wealthy people are very committed to their unwavering resolve. There is a resolve and there is a commitment. There is no scenario where you see yourself where you're going to live life begging, where you're going to live life dependent, where you're going to live like not having enough, where you're going to live life just having enough and not having much more than enough so you can actually accomplish the dreams God has placed in your life and use wealth to serve the Lord. Let's look at the scripture. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. I want you to hold that neighbor by your side. Call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David. Say, hear the word of the Lord. Read that to your neighbor. One to go. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down? And first what? Count the cost. Whether he has enough. Tell your neighbor, which of you, intending to build? That's where it starts from. Wealth starts from intention. Intending to build. So it's a law of purpose and intention. The law of purpose, I intend, I know, intending to build. What are you intending to build this year? Concerning your financial wealth, what are you intending? I was in a meeting with a few people while I was interviewing the leaders so we can confirm leadership for the year. And I had this set of directorates and I started asking, I will always ask for the leader, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? And some of them, this one say, I'm into this, I'm into that, I'm into that. And I asked them, I said, I hope you know that whatever it is you say you're doing should be about profitability first. In the place of wealth, when it comes to building wealth, profitability comes first before impact. What did I say? What did I say? When it comes to wealth, the first thing you think of, whether you're thinking of value, which will give you profitability, whether you're thinking about productivity, it must end in profitability. So somebody say, I'm an actor. I said, oh, that's good. That's what you're created for. Oh, that's your passion. You like to act. So I want to ask, what's the entrepreneurial value of your acting passion? A goalie has been coming in. Because there are people who are making money with that. So don't tell me about how many people are giving you platforms and how many years they've been telling you, you just need exposure. That's okay. And I'm not saying you cannot. There is no profession through which you cannot make money. No profession. But you must sit down and interpret the entrepreneurial value of that thing and the profitability that is coming from that. And I said, if you are not able to solve that, I didn't say you should stop acting. And I didn't say you should wake up one day and say, I'm no longer acting, because that's what makes you happy and what you love. I said, when your focus is to build wealth, if your focus is to be happy, continue acting. But if your focus is to build wealth and you cannot solve the profitability, you cannot decode the entrepreneurial value of that you're acting, I say you will pack that acting and sit down and find something else, because God doesn't give you one gift, and there is no only one way to be rich. Did you hear what I said? You will pack that acting and find, because there are different factors that is making one person make money from acting and making the other person not make money from acting. And so you have to respect all those factors, and then you pack it and know the one that will be giving you money. The first and the most important thing is earning. Earn money. I said, when you now start earning money, and you can earn money from anything else, and you mustn't be acting, since you were not earning in acting. If you were already earning in acting, that's okay. I said, as you're earning money and you're learning how to multiply what you're earning, you can now use that money and sponsor your acting. In fact, since they've been trying to give you a platform that is not exposing you well, every time it is extras they are giving you, every time it is wakapas they are giving you, every time is just these roles they are giving you. You can now use the money you earn and invest back. If they don't invite you to the table, build the table yourself and invite others. And you will still recruit yourself back to what? Where you are now using the money you're making to act, and you are now being satisfied because you're doing your passion. But if your focus is making wealth, building wealth, your focus should be profit. Anything you're doing that is not bringing profit, you're wasting your time. I hope you're having a mind shift. So I told people, I said, every wealthy person has different passions and different hobbies, but their first passion and first hobby is making money. Serial addicted money makers. Other passions are secondary. And so, however they are going to make that money, in whatever way. So when they sit down, they don't say, my passion is to go into this business. No, they don't have any passion. They study the environment. They study the needs. They study the factors that are unique to what they want to do. And they discover what will give them the best results when they invest in that. That becomes their focus is profitability. Wave your hands if you're here. Come and say, I'm here. So which of you intending? Ask your neighbor, have you been intending? Let's write this down. Purpose is broad. Purpose is broad and enduring. I'm going to help you with that. Purpose is broad and enduring. So when it comes to building wealth and the purpose for that wealth, it's not about just making money or getting rich. It's about values. You value wealth. Every wealthy person values wealth. He understands the power of wealth and understands the danger of not having it. It's about freedom that it brings. You're able to have means and have the freedom to do whatever the Lord has placed in your heart. It's about the dreams of your impact. So purpose is broad. It's about values, it's about freedom, it's about impact, and it's about building generational legacy. So when you look at all the things I said, somebody say value. Somebody say freedom. Somebody say impact. Somebody say generational legacy. You will notice that that is so broad that it's not limited to I need money to buy GLK. Is that right? I need money to buy a Lamborghini. Is that right? It's broader. It's broader. Purpose is always broader. It is purpose that gives meaning and direction for wealth creation. It is purpose that gives meaning and direction for wealth creation. Purpose is the why behind the actions you're going to be taking in building wealth. So people who don't have a strong purpose will not be able to stick to certain principles when their journey of wealth creation begins. Those of you that work closely with me, whether in church or in other things we do, you know me. Sometimes you'll be wondering, why does Pastor take the decision he takes? Why does he not do this at this time? Sometimes when you're expecting I'm going to bring out money, I won't bring out money. The things you're expecting I'm going to spend on is not what I'm going to spend on. There is a broader purpose for wealth creation that is making me take the decisions I'm taking. Now, if the Lord bless you to do so, do so. And because everybody's journey is unique, you must not take each everybody's journey. But for me, my first purpose, my first thing is not to go and build a big house. To go and build a big house and furnish that house and be living in that house and everybody be shouting was a waste of money for me. So I didn't invest in it. And yet, in the things I'm doing, we have things, I have to be decent, okay? Things in billions. Things that are being put in places, put in things. And I didn't take any of them to go and build a particular house. I just renovated the one I had. And it's not about... So there is something that is making me do what I do. While you meet some pastors, they have a big duplex. They ride big cars. But when you get to the church, where they are doing the impact is small.
Yeah, you didn't hear what I said.
They're answering bishops. They're answering things. They are carrying big things. So it depends on when you there is purpose. It's purpose that gives directions. The decisions, the choices you make with money and the direction you take in creating wealth, purpose is what informs that. If you're getting what I'm saying, say I hear. Am I communicating to you? Am I communicating to you? Say I hear. It is purpose that informs and shapes your intention and your drive. Purpose. Your intentions and your drive. It's purpose that provides the context and the motivation for your intentions. So your intention to build, that there is purpose that is... So he who intends to build a tower, it could be who he intends to build a bungalow. It could be who he intends to build a bridge. It could be, but whatever you're intending to build is coming from the purpose. Why do you want to build? What is this thing supposed to serve? So let me conclude for this law and help bring it all together. You know, we are speaking different kinds of English here. Now, I want you to write this, write capital letter, write purpose. Then draw an arrow. From next week, I will get these things on screens for you. Draw an arrow. Write strong intentions. When you have purpose for wealth and you understand it, why you must be rich and why you can't afford not to be, why you must be wealthy, it will source and provide the context and motivation for your intentions. So a strong purpose will lead to strong intentions. Now, after that, draw another arrow. Strong responsibility. By the side, strong responsibility. Horizontal arrows, strong responsibility. We have screens, so I'm going to give them, I'm get it more prepared for people to show you on the screen. Mr. Sam, you know where wealth begins from. Wealth begins from a decision to take absolute responsibility. So far as there is somewhere in your mind where you believe you have an uncle that can help you, you have a father that can help you, you have a brother that can help you, you have a mother that can help you, you're not going to be wealthy. It starts with a decision. I will be wealthy. And then you take absolute, and I mean absolute, such that if nobody gives you a dime, it doesn't make any meaning. You won't blame nobody. You're expecting nothing from nobody. That's what makes a man come out. And instead of waiting for somebody somewhere to send him money, suddenly he comes out of his house, looks at his gutter, sees sand in front of the gutter after a rainfall, and he goes in there with shovels, brings it out of the gutter and starts selling it. How did he see money inside that sand? Because he's not waiting for money anywhere. That's what makes a man walk to a car wash and say, please, I know you. I'm not a staff here. Can I be coming on the weekends? I want to be washing cars. How much? Whatever. Tell me. Let us do this. Because he's raising money for something else he's going to do. He's not going to wash cars all right. He's not going to be using this thing to. But instead of waiting, he can see money everywhere. He can walk around and see his neighbor that has vegetables and he's not using it and say, please, can I come and collect and be selling? I will give you 20% of it, since you're not even using it. And the neighbor says yes. And he collects it, go to the market, and say, I'm giving to you people. He sees money everywhere because he has taken absolute what? So far as there is somewhere in your mind where there is help coming from somewhere else, and you're expecting that somebody has to fix you up, somebody has to help you, somebody has to give you, you don't have enough. No, your purpose is weak and your intentions are weak. Every wealthy person has a strong purpose, very clear, knows why he's going to be rich and has strong intentions. There is a strong resolve that makes them take absolute responsibility. Think their way out. Something must work. Lift your hands. May the Lord my God, whom I serve, walk in your heart and by the light of his truth and the knowledge of his glory, may there be a bringing down of every stronghold, whether it has to do with your self-image or self-esteem, lack of belief in your own ability and capability. Whatever has been a stronghold and a hindrance to the unleashing of your potentials, to the unleashing of the force and the passion of your heart to rise up and become a wealth creator and to take your wealth and financial fortune destiny in your hands, in the name of Jesus, let it come down today. Whatever has made you live in fear, whatever has made you live in fear, as if somehow you will end up struggling in life, you will end up never making it, you will end up never amounting to your dreams, in the name of Jesus, I daku shakataya, under this anointing, it comes down to death, let it be destroyed. You will leave here and sit down and ask yourself questions. And you're going to leave here and have vision sessions where either you're lying down or sitting down alone. Put off your phone and play with your imagination. That's your creative ability. Think of yourself and imagine yourself in the future. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to be supplying the prophetic to you. And you're going to be taken into the spirit while you're using your imagination. And you're going to see things. Sometimes it will even take you back to the root of your self-esteem issue. To the root of that rejection issue. Where you always feel like nobody is helping you. Nobody is favoring you. To the root of that fear issue. Some of you, it's lack of responsibility. Lack of responsibility. Because somehow there is a system somewhere. There is some form of culture of dependency. You were raised that way. That you can never come out and become who you're supposed to be without somebody else playing a role in it. But whatever you do, don't let this January finish without solving that thing inside. Wealth does not start from the outside. It starts from the inside. Did you get that? Right, number two. Sit down there. The law of financial wisdom and intelligence. The law of financial wisdom and intelligence. We will continue from next Sunday. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
The psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You know what it means? He's commanding himself to praise the Lord. So when you're singing that, we're not telling another person, praise the Lord. You're commanding everything within you to praise the Lord.
And as you're singing it, burst into praise. Lift your hands in exaltation and in adoration to Him, from whom all wisdom flows. It is He who gives us the power to get wealth. It is God who gives us the power. Our prosperity is sourced of God. So let us magnify Him. Raise our voice and magnify Him. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Can you take a few more seconds to just worship Him? Personalize your praise this morning. Le rosa and the lingradeza. Le redosa angarebratu. Le bragadosa cayela bragadosa. Le brades unda le bragatesha, le brades unda le bragatesha, le brande caledos and de caruza paha, rabaye poriza kainde recayudo pahata, le bredos unda le bragabainda, loze incaradezo brande cayera kataya. Yes, Lord, we give you all the glory, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' precious and mighty name, we have prayed. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering of praise today.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 806-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.